Okay, that's all right. Oh, you already put your speed on it. All right, guys. Well, Christmas is coming, so everybody ready for present? What are you expecting? Great future. Let me tell you just a story about you know what happened in my life about 25 years ago. I don't exactly remember when was it, but I used to be a businessman, as you know. I used to travel a lot, and once I went to Turkey to make a business with a big company called the Borusan. They produce the pipe. Also, they are BMW dealer there too. So one of the biggest company. And but what happened when I arrived? No one was on business. It was what they call is a Bayram time. You know, in Muslim nations there are two very important holidays. It's not really holidays. One is Ramadan. The other one is Bayram. Whole week, people fast during the daytime. This is funny. You know, what they call fasting? Yeah, you fast during the daytime. You don't even drink water. So in a country like in Middle East, not drinking water during the daytime is really a great ordeal. And in Turkey too, it's Bayram is one of those two holidays. And no business is open. You know, I knew about Ramadan, but I didn't know about the Bayram. So I had nothing else to do there. Alright? So sitting just at the hotel. So we decided to go just this, you know, tour for Holy Land tour, because there are seven famous ancient churches in Turkey. You know, Turkey used to be is a great field for Christianity. All the important churches were in Turkey. So I went to Ephesus. You know, when you go to my website, there are pictures taken right in front of Ephesian theaters, and Dr. Kim is just doing all kind of weird move, and I had a necklace with the cross. Those days I was really hot. Okay, seriously, I was hot. Heart for the Lord. Okay, my heart was really pumping. And what I remember, just one thing, not those all those, you know, ancient ruins, but one day I was traveling on Silk Road, ancient Silk Road. You know what is Silk Road? Silk Road is what they call Silk Road because they imported from Chinese silk. People, all these caravans on the, you know, animals' backs, they carried silk to the Europe. That was a big business. So all this trade route, what they call Silk Road, ancient route. And the road was really narrow, but we drove it. And over there is an ancient inn. It's not, they are not really open for business, but they preserved it. It's as old as 2,000 years old, ancient inn. And over there is no roof, just walls, okay? And in ancient times too, there was no roof. And there you have hays and animals just to stay together. That was ancient inns. There wasn't a place like, Marriott or Hyatt Hotel. No, ancient accommodation was really very meager. And I sat there, those ancient, site of this inn. I thought about Paul. Paul must have traveled on this road too. He would have traveled over, maybe over 30,000 miles. I don't know how many miles, you know. Those days, he may have rode a donkey from time to time. Most of the time, he would have walked. He was poor, you know, didn't carry much money at all. And he traveled all those ancient roads. And what kind of food? You know, really meager food. Whatever that, maybe just a piece of bread. Sometimes he starved to death. All right, he was beaten, robbed by robbers. Almost 30 years life. I was thinking, what made this guy, Paul, travel like he had done? All those sufferings he had. Why? What kept him going? You know what? What Paul has done during his three missionary journeys became foundation of Christianity. He was the one who took the gospel to the end of the earth. Probably he went to Spain too, because that's what people think, that was end of the world, you know, in their own mind in ancient time. Paul was the most successful missionary in all world. How successful was he? You know, in Ephesus, these mobs who tried to get Paul, what they were shouting was, this guy turned the whole world upside down. Think about it. He must have been very successful. If Moses, okay, you preach and you go to other parts of the world and people say, this guy Moses, alright, in Muslim nations maybe sometimes, this guy turned all nations upside down. You know, Paul must have felt great when he heard that, right? What they said was try to get Paul, alright, get him in trouble. But Paul was so successful. And I find that the reason why Paul was so successful, in the verse I'm going to read it today, this was the attitude he had toward his life. Let me read it for you. This is Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. Just five verses are so important to Christian lives. I bet you, if you go by this word, set your heart that you're going to live like Paul, according to the attitude shown in this verse, your life will be changed. I'm serious. You may be called, this guy, this lady is the one who turned whole world upside down. Epoch-making person. Maybe greatest missionary or greatest doctor, whatever you have set in your heart. Alright. Everyone has it? Okay, those who has, we're going to read it together. I'm reading from my Bible, NIV. Let's start. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. See that word, verse 15 here. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. This is what Paul said. All of us, all of you who are mature in Christ. Alright? Must take such a view of things. So this is kind of a world view Paul had. We may summarize it in just in three words here. First, forgetting what is behind. Very important. When I came in this morning, I asked Stephen, how was yesterday? Did you have a fun-filled day? And Stephen, that he said, no. So I asked him, was it sorrow-filled day? He said, yes. Stephen, let me ask you again. If you messed up yesterday, does it define your present? Yes. What Paul says here is exactly other way around. Forgetting what is behind. Don't let your bitter experience of a past define your present. If that happens, you are not going to be able to progress at all. Past is past. In French, you call passé. Passé is passé. It's a past. Could it be failure for Paul? Just think about it. He was the guy who persecuted the Christians. He was the one who was keeping watch of Stephen's clothes. That means he was the guy who was in charge of stoning the Stephen. Even though it was mobs who threw rocks at him, but Paul was the one who says, okay, it is my responsibility. He was a member of Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish registration body, consisted of 72 most important people. Paul was one of them. He was the one. He was the one who sought all the Christians and took them out of their house, threw them in jail, may have murdered or out of them. He was the one who was ready to do the same thing with the Christians in Damascus. So he was riding horse to the Damascus until he met Christ on the road to Damascus. Paul was the persecutor. If those experiences, what he had done, failures he had done, those experiences defined his present at this time, Paul would not have done what he had done. The Paul's attitude, forgetting what is behind. He forgot all the past failures. Not only past failures, folks. Paul was the most successful missionary, as I said. He raised the dead. Okay? He healed all the sick people, like what Jesus had done. He was so successful when he preached in Ephesus. It said, all Asia heard his gospel. Paul, who turned whole world upside down. Past glory. Paul did not dwell on his past glory. Neither glory nor failure defined his present. I don't know what kind of life you had in 2011. Good memories or bad memories, right? you are looking for now New Year coming. Not just the New Year, you guys still young, alright? The life left for you is going to be much longer than the life you had. If those short life experiences you had, those things, those failures and glories define your present, you are not going to be able to make your future. So it's time to think about the past. But remember, past is the what you want to learn from it, not the one that defines your present. I want you to forget especially the bitter experiences. And even bitter emotions. Alright. Some people live as prisoners of their past, because their past experience, past fight against someone, past grievances with your teachers or with your parent, with your friend, some death defines your present. You are locked in just a small, very small, tiny, tiny prisoner. In your prisons, you are just locked in. You become minute, minute, little ones. You can't get it out. What Paul said here, forgetting behind. That's why he said, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Should. This is not Paul is just encouraging. He's saying, should. All we must do. Then what happened? Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, man. This is the way you want to see your future. Okay? What you wanna run for? You got to have a goal. This is a language Paul is using from like an Olympic race. Not marathon. Here he's talking of primary 100 meter short race. You run race. You're ready. Whatever training you had, forget about it. You just look at your goal. What is before you? All your eyes fixed on your future goal. And you are not just running. You are straining, okay? Straining toward what is ahead. I wonder whether you guys have a specific goal in your life. Ultimate goal, what you want to be. Maybe 20 years later, or 30 years later, or 40 years, even 50 or 60 or 100 years later, folks. That ultimate goal, I want you guys to think about it for the rest of 2011. And think about it. And also you think about what you're going to be in 2012. What particular short-term goal you want to have? Alright? You guys are still in school. What kind of a student you going to be? What kind? Academically or spiritually for your church? What you going to become? Unless you have that goal, there's nothing you can strain toward. Alright? You fight like, just hitting the air. You don't have your goal, then you don't have your life, folks. Life without goal is a really meaningless life. That's the attitude Paul lived. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Again, the same word. This is the way Paul lived the present. For him, His future goal defines his present. He's not just running easily, folks. Here, press on toward the goal. Think about it. Press on. You know, your heart is pumping. You feel like dying because you run 100 meter race with all your energy and heart. Maybe your ankle or maybe your back is strained. But he doesn't care because he has that goal. That's the way he runs the present. When people live their life this way, alright, people, no one can really touch them. Even the devil can't touch the people who run like this, because running so fast on all energies, alright, you try to grab him from behind, you can't catch him. People stumble because they run their races haphazardly. I hope you guys run like Paul when his race. Anything in this world is meaningful, especially when you have specific goal set in your heart. When you run a race like that, you could be the person who can turn whole world upside down. You could live successful lives. You could become great and great physicians, alright? And you could become great scientists. You could become great politicians, great missionaries for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for giving us such a wonderful message through Paul, Lord. Lord, we want to forget all the past things, whatever happened during the last year, folks. We want to set our heart on the specific goal you set for us, Lord. And we want to leave our present like Paul lived, strain toward the goal you set for us, Lord, so that we may be the successful in this life as you meant us to be, Lord. I pray all this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Amen.